Luis Leiza.
Hi, my name's Lisa and I'm an addict.
Hi, Lisa.
God, I'm so nervous. 15 minutes. You know, I always think I've got nothing to say, but then when it comes to, like, doing a chair, I can never sort of keep it in 15 minutes. I can talk about, my issues with relationships for about half hour, but I won't. So I very, very rarely get to that point where I feel like I need to pray often. And I think I've prayed about 20 times today for, like, Claire to ring me up and say, oh, I found someone better. Or sitting here praying for everyone to, like, think they've got something better to do and leave the meeting. But I'm here now. And all I can do is, share my experience. You know, my experience is I use drugs. I used them because I like the way they changed me. I like the effect, I liked getting high, I liked getting low, I liked being depressed from Monday to Thursday, and listening to love songs, and wishing that I could be that person who found the man of their dreams at 15. But, you know, it quickly progressed and it quickly got painful, and, it got to the point where, I didn't have to lose limbs. I didn't have to, lose my family. I didn't have to lose my flat. You know, I'd lost something in me. And I just remember waking up one morning. The guy that I was in a relationship with was out, trying to get money to score. And I was sitting at home waiting for him to come back for about 6 hours. And I just thought, I can't do this no more. I cannot keep waking up every day feeling this pain and just using drugs to take that pain away, and then the effects wearing off, and then feeling more pain. So I don't know what happened. I just decided I'm going to get help, and I phoned the National Drugs Helpline and said, I want to stop using drugs. And they gave me numbers, and I accessed them numbers, and I went to appointments. You know, I may have turned up 2 hours late, but I got myself there. And, in 2001 I came into this fellowship, and, I'll be honest, to begin with, I was 22. It was, brilliant for finding men, and it was brilliant for finding new friends, and, and for a long time it was fun, and I just enjoyed being clean, and I had ups and downs, and obviously there was moments where I thought, oh, I want to use, I want to drink, and the people that I had around me would say, just keep coming to meetings, just keep sharing, just keep being honest about this stuff. And, I made a lot of mistakes in recovery. I'd done all the things that not suggested. I went to probably a meeting every day apart from Saturday, and then I'd go clubbing. I'd got into relationships. I got into relationships in treatment. I got pregnant. I'd done it all in my first, couple of years of recovery. And I had my son in recovery. I was blessed with a beautiful, beautiful little boy who I love absolutely, dearly, would do anything for. But when it comes to this illness, I wasn't working a program. I didn't have a sponsor. I thought it wasn't for me. Just thought I could come to meetings every now and then when I felt a bit shit. Or I would come to meetings and share, how wonderful my life was and how great it was to be clean. But inside I'd be like, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. Part of me still felt the same. I'd stopped using drugs, but there was moments where I thought, I ain't changed. I'm still doing the same things that I done when I was using, especially around relationships. Still repeating the same mistakes that I, I had the excuse when I was using. Oh, I was drunk, or I was high, or I had that excuse. But when I was clean, I didn't have that excuse no more. I didn't have the excuses. Oh, well, I was drunk and I cheated on my boyfriend. I was clean and I was doing the same stuff and making the same mistakes, and it became very, very painful. And I got to 4 years 9 months, and I thought, I'm going to have a drink, numb away the feelings and deal with it all tomorrow. You know, the typical addict stuff, I'll deal with it tomorrow. And unfortunately for me, I'm the type of addict who, I had that first drink and it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. And I thought, fuck it, I'll go down the road. A friend of mine who had also been in recovery had relapsed, and I knew he was using. You know, I put myself in that situation where, I used my drugs of choice, and without a care or a thought for my son. You know, I was up all night using. My son was asleep in his bed. The next morning, you know, got up, and all I could think about was getting more drugs, because I didn't want that feeling of coming down. And, you know, I'd done something that I'd never done in the whole time I was using. I took a Valium, and for those of you who have used Valium, you know the effects. Those of you who haven't, don't ever do it, because I just lost control. I've never felt that loss of control until I'd taken that, and I literally cannot remember nothing for that 24 hours, and my mum took care of my son. And you know, I think my relapse in April 2006, it was a release. It was a release of the addiction, of the illness again, and the compulsion to use, you know, was on me, and I could just about get a few days clean again, and then I would use, and I would beat myself up, and all the things that we do, you know, it's like, oh, well, I've lost my clean time, you know, fuck it, I'll use, you know. And I found it really hard to get a few days clean again, or, you know, a week clean. And I was in this cycle of using, and my mum took my son. And I think that has got to be, you know, the darkest moment of all my using compacts. You know, the fact that I was using and my mum had my son, and I knew that there was another way. You know, I've been in this fellowship for nearly 5 years, and once you've been around this fellowship and you use, your using is never the same. There's nothing worse than using, being on a crack pipe, and you've got, you know, fucking fellowship talk going on in your head. Get to a meeting, call a friend. it's horrible. It's very, very painful. And you know, it took about 4 months on and off using, coming into meetings, you know, getting into relationships, and you know, using with them, and then getting out of them, and you know, and I went away for 6 weeks. I came back to London, and this time I decided to do things differently. You know, one of my big downfalls was my family, and you know, I found it really, really, you know, I could talk for hours about my issues with my family, you know, but one of the things, I just couldn't let go of it. I always had this fear that if I was honest with my family about how I felt about my childhood, that they just wouldn't want to hear it, and they wouldn't want to know me, and they wouldn't be there for me no more. And that is basically what happened. They didn't want to know. They didn't want to accept what I had to say. And I very, very rarely have any contact with my family. And that suits me today. All those fears that I had of being on my own in recovery have just gone. You know, I've built my family up in these rooms. Some of the friends I've got in these rooms, you know, I would be lost if I didn't have them, because they help me. They help me with all the madness that goes on in my head. You know, I don't ever proclaim to be well, and I don't think I'd ever be that well that I could do a 40-minute chair. But I am blessed. You know, I am blessed today. And you know, I came back. I got a sponsor very quickly. You know, we decided to start working the steps at the beginning of this year, and then I found out I was pregnant, and was sick from morning till night for the first 12 weeks. So I haven't picked up my step work yet, but I will get round to it once I've had the baby. And, you know, building a relationship with a woman took years. You know, and one of my best friends, who's no longer in this fellowship, but is the closest person in my life, I know I can tell anything to and not feel judged. And you know, I love that about these rooms. You know, I was so nervous coming to this meeting, and it wasn't because I thought any of you were going to judge me, because I know you probably all will, because we all do it. Do you know what I mean? I'm an addict, I go to meetings and I judge. And, you know, but it's what I, what my thinking does to me. I will leave this meeting and I will probably think, oh, I could have said that. And I wish I said that. And someone might have got something out of that. But, you know, all I can do is hand it over and just, you know, pray that something in what I share, you know, someone will, you know, will either identify with, or they will get something from, or, you know, they might even think, yeah, well, I've done that and I got through it. You know, maybe I can help her. You know, somebody. This is the good thing about this fellowship. You know, I know no matter how unwell I think I am, or how mad my thinking is, I know this is the best place for me. You know, I've been feeling really emotional, obviously being pregnant and, you know, hormonal. And, you know, my first pregnancy was wonderful. I didn't have a man, so that was great. You know, I didn't have that to worry about, that he was going to leave me once I got too big. You know, and I've got all those worries now. It's like, you know, what's it going to do to my partner once I give birth? Do you know what I mean? Is he going to see me in a different light? You know, but it doesn't matter how mad my thinking is, I can come here and, you know, I always take something away from a meeting. And I know that no matter how bad I'm feeling, you know, I come to a meeting and I know I feel better when I leave. And I'll find 101 excuses not to go to a meeting. Claire rang me up. And she said to me, can you do the chair for me this Friday? And I went, oh, I don't know. Oh, let me just check. Like, I've got a really busy diary, which I ain't. You know, and all I had to do was ask Paul. You know, I asked my partner, can you watch Harry on Friday night while I go to a meeting? And he was like, yeah, of course. You know, but that dishonest part of me who doesn't want to face my fears, doesn't want to sit in front of all of you lot and reveal a bit of myself to you, wanted to say to Claire, oh, I can't do it this week, I'll do it for you next week. Oh, it's Easter weekend next weekend, I won't be able to do it for you that weekend, knowing full well that in 2 weeks Paul starts work on a Friday night, so he won't be able to babysit, and knew that I'd probably get away with it. So I'm glad I've done it, because, you know, I know that I'm going to go away feeling, you know, really positive and in a better headspace than what I felt coming here. You know, I'm a member of Crackbook. For all of you who are on it, it's Facebook, but it's probably one of the worst things to ever get on, especially if you've got a partner, because Paul doesn't even go on it, but I'm obsessed about all these women who are clicking on his profile picture, and, like, you know, you've got the little applications, like, who's interested in you, and, like, girls click on it, and I get the right hump. It's like, it's not even his fault, he didn't even put himself on there, I did, because I wanted everyone to know who my boyfriend was. You know, that's the illness. Do you know what I mean? That's the madness that goes on in my head. But you know, it's been really lovely to be here. And you know, I am lucky. You know, I'm nearly 18 months clean again. And you know, as I said, my relapse was probably the darkest that I've ever experienced. You know, there's nothing worse than using and then trying not, so desperately not to use, because you know that there's another way. You know that in these rooms miracles happen. And, you know, without this fellowship, you know, I wouldn't have my son. You know, I wouldn't have the friends that I've got. I wouldn't have had, you know, the last 6 years that I've had. You know, I'd probably still be in the same cycle of relationships, using, abuse, self-abuse. And I'm just so glad that, you know, I can't emphasise how much this program, you know, helps me. And, you know, even a little thing as someone calling me and just saying, you know, I thought about you today, you okay, I ain't heard from you for a couple of days, just makes me, you know, because one thing about being an addict, I find it really hard to pick up the phone because of all that stuff of, oh, they won't want to hear from me, they won't want to, you know, they won't want to talk to me, my issues ain't, you know, my problems ain't worth talking about. But, you know, I force myself to do them things today. I force myself to interact with human beings. Because as an addict, we like isolation. We like being in that, you know, pain of, you know, what's familiar, and doing something new and something different is alien to me. You know, I've worked in recovery. I've done courses in recovery. I've been on holiday in recovery. I'd never, ever been on an aeroplane till I got clean. Not that I like it much, but I do it. And I just do things today. You know, I do things for my son that was never done for me. You know, I take him cinema. Paul takes him swimming. I won't quite take him, but Paul takes him. But, you know, I never got... Things like that didn't happen for me, you know, and I try and do the best I can for my son. And doing that, I have to do the best for myself, you know, and I hope someone's taken something positive from what I've shared. And I won't be here next week to buy my tape because I hate the sound of my own voice. But if anyone wants to buy it next week, feel free. And I'll leave it there. Thank you.